争执。 CL-123.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1589. It's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, November the 26th, 2024, which in UTC time is Wednesday, November the 27th, at 0200. It's 2 days before Thanksgiving, so we want to wish everybody happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays. Hope everybody's ready to go out there and for Black Friday and the subsequent days of sales afterwards. But until then, let's see, this is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston. The PL tone is 123.0, and I will now take local check-ins.
Whiskey Delta 5, Julian Romeo Delta, WD5JRD, Carl, Jersey Village. Good evening, Marty.
Good evening, Carl, WD5JRD, up there in Jersey Village. You got a good signal tonight, and I hope you have a happy holiday there. Let's see, you got anybody else out there? Okay, no Herbert this evening. But, let's see. We're going to start with some South Texas Blue Launch Team information, particularly regarding BLT-138. There was a balloon that was launched on Sunday by Walter, K5WH, and John, AV5SF. And, been doing quite well. It's actually gone across the United States. It's past Bermuda, about almost halfway across the Atlantic. So, an update on BLT, well, the W5BSA balloon that they launched during the Boy Scout Jamboree, and that one hasn't been heard from in about 11 days now. So it was working on its second or third trip around the world there. So it may have run into some issues. The last time we saw it, it was in the Pacific, kind of moving, bobbing around out there past Hawaii. And didn't have some really favorable steering wind for a few days. But it hasn't shown up for about 11 days now, so we're going to be say that one's kind of questionable. But we'll still keep looking occasionally. But until then, we'll be tracking John's balloon, AB5SS-138. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. We want to remind everybody you can call and check in with a quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. You can send a APRS message to West Virginia 5 Yankee with no dashes, no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. Or that email, it's WV5Y@comcast.net. So you can check in that way. See, we'll take a check-in, standby for check-ins here about halfway through the hour, and see if we have any more local check-ins. Okay, this is ANS Bulletin, Weekly Service Bulletin number 329. This is by Mark Johns, K0JM. And the AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. Okay, the news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it, so please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org, and you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletin through the ANS list, and that way they'll just pop right into your mailbox. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, AMSAT Oscar 7, 50th anniversary, and the Space Age Morse Code and STEM Innovation, and this is from November the 24th, 2024. At first glance, there is something about Morse code and the space age that don't go together, but think about Morse in its simple beauty. In addition to building a few spacecraft and pursuing a global amateur radio allocation for satellites at the International Telecommunication Union World Radio Conference, AMSAT was also busy developing an educational curriculum.
This is the W5VSA repeater.
Okay, before STEM, or Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, was even a concept, AMSAT thought it would be quite exciting to allow grade school to high school students the opportunity to understand the basics of a spacecraft, not by reading about it in a book, rather by using a real spacecraft in class. One of AMSAT's members, Dr. Martin Davidoff, K2UBC, decided to write a curriculum at the secondary education level and received a grant from the Department of Energy to write it. The Satellite Experimenter's Handbook was distributed by the American Radio Relay League, the ARRL, and AMSAT to anyone who might want to teach others about spacecraft technology. The book specially targeted secondary school educators. Key among the concepts was the idea of giving a teacher who may or may not be a radio amateur the information necessary to assemble a receiving system, which could act as a student demonstration tool in school. This receiver and antenna would allow a class to receive and decode telemetry. This process then required the students to think through some orbital mechanics, the technology of antennas and receivers, and finally, the principles of demodulation and decoding. And this is where Morse came in. For just the numbers, 0 through 9 in Morse can be learned in 10 minutes by just about anyone. And so it is a perfect tool for any 8th grader. PLM, or the Morse Code Telemetry Encoder System, was designed and fabricated by John Good, W5CAY. This unit was built in one of the small modules that comprised the AO7 space frame. This little box used fixed logic comprised of 34 ICs and one op amp for the AD converter. Using CMOS components was amazingly efficient. It required 2 milliamps of current at 10 volts DC from the power bus, or a whopping 20 milliwatts. This TLM encoder had 24 analog input channels that were organized in 4 columns and 6 rows. They were divided basically into current, voltage, and temperature channels. All were scaled to a 1.0-volt full-scale input to the AD converter. The encoder produced decimal values and was organized into 2 Morse characters between 0 and 99. The first number of each word is a digit giving the row number of the datum. This reduces the ambiguity of where in the frame the encoder was in case the student got a bit lost. AMSAT's commitment to STEM education continues today with its CubeSat simulator program and its developing youth initiative, all fueled by a 50-year-old satellite that is still in operation today. Persons wanting to read more about the life and history of AMSAT Oscar 7 are invited to visit www.amsat.org/AMSAT-AO-7-A-50-year-anniversary. And we want to thank Frank Kanoskis in 1UW, AMSAT VP of Development, for that information. Okay, the 2024 AMSAT President's Club coins are still available. You can help support Golf and Fox Plus, both programs. Join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. We've got ASRTU-1 has been designated as Oscar 123 or ASRTU-Oscar 123. At the request of Hartman Institute of Technology and Armour State University, AMSAT designated ASRTU-1 as ASRTU-Oscar 123 or AO-123. So that means the caps are available now. You can go and download the caps from your regular places, and AO-123 should be listed in there. ASRTU-1 was launched on November 4, 2024 at 2318 UTC on a Soyuz launch vehicle from Vostochny Cosmodrome in Russia. Built and operated by Harbin Institute of Technology and Armour State University, the satellite carries a VU repeater, UHF SS Digital DV or Digital Image Transmitter, and a 10.5 gigahertz QPSK image transmitter. All of these payloads have been successfully tested, and the repeater has been operational for QSOs. The satellite contains an FM transponder, which is currently operational, with an uplink of 145.850 MHz with a 67 Hz CTCSS tone required, and a downlink frequency of 435.400 MHz. After the repeater detects the end of an uplink, it will wait for half a second. If no new uplink in half a second, telemetry will be sent. So make fast use of, so the telemetry is less likely to interrupt you. The satellite also contains two cameras with an SSDV downlink for low-resolution images on 436.210 MHz and a high-speed downlink on 10.460 GHz for high-resolution images. There's Windows software for decoding the telemetry, and it's available at drive.google.com/file-d-1wa-n-m-p0_hoj1bd1eif74mlh-eurdwcjh. And here's the one that's a little shorter. The two-line Keplerian elements of the TLEs can be found at asrtu.mqsi.xyz/asrtu_tle.txt. Okay, AMSAC congratulates the Harbin Institute of Technology and Armor State University, thanks them for their contribution to the amateur satellite community, and wishes them continued success on this and future projects. And we want to thank Drew Grassbrenner, KO4MA, Oscar Number Administrator, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. And we want to thank Bruce, KK5DO, because he makes these links available over there on our website. So you don't have to listen to these super long URLs I read and type them in or do anything like that. You can just go over to amsatnet.com, and right there on the front page, in the upper right-hand corner, just click on this evening's document, and you'll find the URLs listed, and you can just click on them if you're interested, and it'll take you direct to those articles. Okay, we're just a little bit past, quarter past the hour here, so we're going to take a quick standby. And we're going to take a look around and see if we've got checking in here via some of our other means. Okay, first of all, we've got Charlie, K5ENG. He's over there in West Houston, and he's doing pretty good. So appreciate him being around and calling and checking in. And let's see, we've got Dale, WD0AKO. He's up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we appreciate him doing that. We have used it in the past. And then, of course, thanks to Vern, WA0RCR in Wentzville, Missouri. You can hear our net on 1.860 MHz, full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say. And that's at 5:30 and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band. And, of course, this is getting to be the time of the year where the top band is coming in good. They're on 160 meters. So we appreciate that making our net available there again on the weekend from Wentzville, Missouri. Okay, we We've also got Ty in 6ZZO. He's over there in McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners. He calls and checks in, so we appreciate that, and we hope he has a really happy Thanksgiving. And let's see, from APRS, let me check that real quick, see if we have any APRS check-in. Oh, looks like we don't. Looks like it's been about a month since we got one from Dave, WD7DRU. But APRS is still working, so people can check in that way. Let's see, from IRC, the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. So, happy holidays to those folks.
CL123.
Okay, from Echolink, we've got Bob, K9OIM, good evening to him. There's Mitch, AD0HJ, he's over there in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, he puts on the Wednesday night AmSatNet on DMR, so you can participate over there on Wednesday night, and that's on the AmSat Digital Talk Group of 98006 or YSF Fusion 11689, and that happens at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So we appreciate Mitch putting on that net there for us. So who knows, besides making grid squares available and good satellite stuff like that, you know, he might even have some tips on cooking turkeys. You never know. Okay, we got Bruce, KK5VO, up there in Roman Forest. Endoff, N6UTC, he's over there in Long Beach, California, and I hope he's doing okay with the weather they're having over there. We've got Andrew, KC5LWY, he's down there in Galveston, Texas, and so we appreciate Andrew checking in. And then we also have Damien, AG9P, good evening to Damien. And he's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. Okay, as a reminder, you can call and check in to the Houston AmSat Net. Quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. APRS message to WV5Y, no dashes, no numbers, and that email, WV5Y at AmSat.com. Comcast.net. Okay, we're going to cover this topic again here. It says it's a revised version, and that is the CubeSat SIM kits are available once again. It says another batch of CubeSat SIM kits will be available on the AmSat store, and that happened on Monday, November the 25th, starting at noon, so that was yesterday, and that's U.S. Eastern Time, or 1700 UTC. It says, due to an error, previous announcements had included an earlier date. $400 include everything you need to assemble a CubeSat simulator with no soldering. Only about an hour and a half of assembly is required to stack the boards, assemble the frame, and mount the solar panels. The CubeSat sim kit includes a fully assembled and tested printed circuit board, multiple ones, three, as a matter of fact. You get a main board, a solar board, and battery boards. Get a Raspberry Pi 02 with a Pi camera and fully programmed micro SD card, along with a fully programmed Raspberry Pi Pico WH. And then there's an AMSAT logo removed before flight tag switch. A 3D printed frame, nylon screws and nuts with a mini screwdriver included for assembly. Get the metal standoffs, little stacking headers, and JST jumpers for stacking the printed circuit boards and the Pi 02. There's 10 solar panels with pre-soldered JST connectors and mounting tape, a BME 280 sensor, which measures pressure, temperature, altitude, and humidity, and an MPU 6050 IMU gyro, and it's pre-soldered, and then there's 2 6-inch SMA coax cables and 2 SMA antennas. Okay, it's a lot of stuff. It turns out being a small box, but it's a lot of stuff. There, it goes into that box for $400. The kit also comes with an instruction sheet, parts inventory, and links to online instructions. Assembly time is estimated to be under 2 hours with scissors and the provided mini screwdriver. The version 2.0 CubeSat SIM features improvements over the version 1.2, such as an FM transceiver, Raspberry Pi Pico microcontroller, and RF command and control using DTMF or a PRS packet. It can also be modified to function as a 500 milliwatt high altitude balloon payload. Okay, for those interested in creating their own CubeSat SIM, a version 2.0 PC board sets are available at the AMSAT store for $35. These do require additional components, which can be purchased for approximately $300 using the provided bill of materials. And there's additional resources, and they include the kit instructions, at CubeSatSIM.org/kit, kit videos, which are at CubeSatSIM.org/kit-videos, so you can check those out, look at the instructions and the videos a little bit ahead of time, if you're interested in maybe pulling the lever on this one and maybe getting something like this going. There's a discussion forum, and that's over at github.com. Okay, that URL is github.com/AlanBJohnston/CubeSatSIM/discussions. And then the quick start guide is at CubeSatSIM.org/QST. For more information or to borrow a loaner CubeSat simulator, you can contact Alan Johnston, AMSAT VP of Educational Relations, and that's at KU2Y@AWRL.net. Okay, if you're excited now and you want to find out how to order, kits will be sold exclusively on the AMSAT store website, www.amsat.org/product/CubeSatSIM/kit. Only U.S. shipping addresses are eligible. Sorry. Orders with non-U.S. addresses will be refunded and closed. CubeSat SIM is a low-cost satellite emulator powered by solar panels and batteries. It transmits UHF radio telemetry and can be expanded with additional sensors and modules making it ideal for educational and public demonstrations. We want to thank Alan Johnston, KUTY, AMSAT Vice President of Educational Relations, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net, and we are right at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby and we'll see if we have any more check-ins on the local 145.19 repeater here in Houston. Come now. Good evening, Herbert. KD5PQJ. You're a little bit noisy this evening, but we got you in there and over in West Houston. Good evening and happy holidays. Okay, you got anybody else out there? We heard from Vern there real quickly off the phone line, timing on his part. And appreciate him calling. And we appreciate especially him transmitting our signal on to the top band there. And of course, that's from Vern, WHORCR. And he transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz. AM from Wentzville, Missouri, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we do appreciate him doing that for us. Okay, we've got a new Chinese satellite that's completed its frequency coordination. The Satellite Frequency Coordination Committee of the International Amateur Radio Union, or the ARU, on November the 15th, completed approval of frequency requests from the Chinese Amateur Satellite Group, or CAMSAT, for a new amateur satellite to be launched next year. And this is CAS-11, a 6U CubeSat, which is six of those little suckers stuck together, and it will include a HF/UHF HU mode linear transponder with a bandwidth of 15 kHz downlink centered at 435.505 MHz with the EIRP transmitted power of 24 dBm. Okay, this uplink is on HF, it's on 15 meters, it's on 21.320 megahertz with a plus or minus 7.5 kilohertz Doppler. Okay, there's a VHF-UHF VU mode linear transponder with a bandwidth of 30 kilohertz downlink. And it's centered at 435.540 megahertz, and it's got the same power output, 24 dBm. Its uplink is on 145.860 megahertz, plus or minus 15 kilohertz. And then there's the VHF-UHF or VU mode FM transponder, the downlink at 435.600 megahertz. It's also at the same power level, and its uplink is at 145.925 megahertz.
W5VSA repeater.
Okay, a lot of goodies on this one. Cast 11 will also have a VHF UHF or VU mode digital store and forward transponder. Its downlink is at 435.700 megahertz, also with an EIRP of 24 dBm. Its uplink is at 145.895 megahertz. And then on UHF, there's a CW telemetry beacon and a UHF telemetry beacon using AX.25, 4800K/9600 BPS GMSK at 435.570 megahertz, and its EIRP is at 23 dBm, just slightly less. The above transponders are the ones we just listed, and beacon will work 24/7 when the satellite power supply is sufficient. Amateur radio enthusiasts around the world can use it for two-way radio relay communication, data storage and forwarding communication, and receive a satellite CW beacons. CAS-11 satellite will also be equipped with a 2.4 GHz multi-mode amateur radio satellite beacon transmitter, which is designed and built by university students, high school students, and primary school students from Beijing Dongguodai Science and Technology Museum and the Beijing University of Posts and Telecommunications under the guidance of CAMSAT. This is an unprecedented satellite project in China. It has brought opportunities for learning and practicing amateur radio and amateur satellites to students of all grades from elementary school to university, and promoted the application of amateur radio in space. This 2.4 GHz experimental beacon transmitter can switch to transmit 5 different modes of radio signals, and it will work continuously when the satellite is fully powered. This project aims to cultivate students' knowledge, skills, and interest in amateur radio satellites. All transmission modes operate at 2.4 GHz, and the working modes are converted by the onboard computer program and ground remote control commands. It can work in the following modes: CW telemetry beacon, FT8 telemetry beacon, PPM telemetry beacon, or USB/SSTV Robot 36, or mode PB120. This beacon will transmit at 2405.500 MHz with an EIRP of 27 dBm. CAS-11 will also carry 3 cameras, and the photos it takes are stored in the flash memory on the satellite. The builders have designed a simple remote control system based on DTMF commands. Amateur radio enthusiasts around the world can send DTMF commands to download the photo catalog and all photos taken by all cameras. Anticipating a launch in September 2025 into a 536-kilometer polar orbit from Haiyangsi launch platform, Shandong, China. And we want to thank IARU and Alan Kung, BA1DU of CAMSAT, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Hey, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase M2 LEO packs from the AmSat store. And when you purchase new AmSat, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is amsat.org/category/hardware. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. We've got an update on the Paris T1A satellite. The Satellite Frequency Coordination Committee of the International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU, on November the 20th, updated information regarding the approved frequency request from the National Formosa University for satellite Paris-T1A. The satellite is tentatively scheduled for launch in January. Paris-T1A, or Parus-T1A, a 3U CubeSat, is designed to continue the successful legacy of the Paris-T1 mission. This satellite will provide essential services to the global amateur radio community. The primary mission is an FM voice crossband repeater to facilitate real-time voice communication between amateur radio operators on 145.980 MHz with an uplink tone of 67 Hz and 435.250 MHz downlink.
One
more satellite will require that uplink CTCSS tone. Lots of times, so far, it's always been on 67 Hz. Satellite will also carry an APRS digipeater to enable the transmission of real-time position and status information from APRS-equipped devices on 145.825 MHz. All right, that should be interesting. When that's going and the ISS is going and they're on the same frequency doing the same thing, wonder if anybody will be able to get any double hops going there, double digit beats to the CAS 11 and the ISS. That'd be quite a feat to undertake. See, a telemetry beacon downlink on 437.850 MHz has also been coordinated with unencrypted telemetry packets accessible to the public through online dashboards like SatNOG, promoting transparency and community collaboration. Okay, they're anticipating a SpaceX launch from Florida in January 2025 into a 590 by 510 kilometer, 98 degree orbit. And we'll thank the IARU and Ranson Hung, BV2DQ, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Yeah, the ISS was successfully boosted in altitude here, I guess, last week by a SpaceX Dragon capsule. And I guess, as it turns out, it was to miss some debris that they had up there that was floating around. So we're glad they got that boost taken care of and got out of the way of any possible debris problems. But one issue the ISS has been experiencing here for a couple of years now, for the past 5 years, is that an air link on the ISS Russian module is getting worse. For the past 5 years, air has been escaping through a Russian section of the International Space Station, the ISS, at an increasing rate. NASA and its Russian counterpart, Roscosmos, are still in disagreement over the root cause of the leak, as well as the severity of the consequences. The leak was first discovered in 2019 in the vestibule named PRK that connects the docking port to the Russian Zvezda module, which Roscosmos had launched to low Earth orbit in July of 2000. Earlier this year, NASA elevated the leak to the highest level of risk, as the rate of air escaping from the module had doubled from 1 pound of air per day to a little over 2 pounds. While the Russian team continues to search for and seal the leaks, it does not believe catastrophic disintegration of the PRK is realistic. Bob Cabana, a former NASA astronaut who now chairs the ISS Advisory Committee, said during a meeting on Wednesday, Space News reported, NASA has expressed concerns about the structural integrity of the PRK and the possibility of a catastrophic failure. The Russians believe that continued operations are safe, but they can't prove to our satisfaction that they are, and the U.S. believes that it's not safe, but we can't prove to the Russian satisfaction that that's the case, he added. Russian teams believe their air leak was likely caused by high cyclic fatigue from micro-vibrations, while teams at NASA think pressure and mechanical stress, residual stress, material properties of the module, and environmental exposure are all at play, according to Space News. Of course, it all gets down to those welds. The air leak was addressed in a recent report by NASA's Office of Inspector General, or the OIG, which highlighted its true severity and the risk it poses to the crew. The OIG report stated that the two space agencies can't seem to agree on the point at which the leak should be considered unsustainable. NASA and Roscosmos met to discuss the ISS air leak, with NASA officials noting that Roscosmos is confident they will be able to monitor and close the hatch to the service module prior to the leak rate reaching an untenable level, according to the report. Although the teams continue to investigate the causal factors for the crack initiation and growth, the U.S. and Russian technical teams don't have a common understanding of what the likely root cause is or the severity of the consequences of these leaks. Cabana is quoted in Space News as saying, the rate of air leaking from the hole increased around a week before the February 14th launch of the Progress MS-26 cargo spacecraft, which docked to the aft end of Zvezda. The hatch that connects the module to the ISS remained open for 5 days as the crew offloaded the cargo from Progress MS-26 onto the space station, but was closed shut afterwards. NASA and Roscosmos are currently monitoring the leak and preparing to close the hatch to the service module when access is not required in order to minimize the amount of air lost and isolate the leak itself from the rest of the space station. If required, the space agencies are prepared to permanently shut off the hatch should the leak rate become unmanageable. The ISS would function normally, but there would be one less docking port for spacecraft delivering cargo to the space station. As the two space agencies continue to discuss the potential risk, the aging space station is inching closer to retirement within the next 6 years, and its hardware may finally be giving in to the wear and tear of the harsh space environment. And ANS thanks Gizmodo for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. I know they had an issue with a terrible smell when they opened the port to the last Soyuz, I think it was, that came up and docked with them. And kind of they had some little bit of leaking droplets that were coming through from somewhere and causing, you know, like a smell kind of like paint drying, they said. You want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AmSat car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. The URL is www.zazzle.com/AmSat_gear. Okay, we do have a change to the AmSat North America TLE distribution for November the 22nd. Two line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. And TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. New bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You'll find more information at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources.
TL-123.
Okay, satellite XW-2B, or NORAD catalog ID 40911, decayed from orbit on 21st of November, 2024. And we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM-1P, AmSat Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Information about the space station raising its orbit to avoid the orbital debris. I guess actually it was the Progress 89 thrusters. Progress 89 thrusters were fired at 20:09 UTC on Tuesday, November the 19th, for 5 minutes and 31 seconds to raise the orbit of the International Space Station for the ISS to provide an extra margin of distance from a piece of orbital debris from a defunct defense meteorological satellite that broke up in 2015. The predetermined debris avoidance maneuver, or the PDAM, was conducted in coordination with NASA, Roscosmos, and the other space station partners. Without the maneuver, ballistics officials estimated that the fragment could have come within around 2.5 miles of the station. The maneuver had no impact on station operations and did not affect Thursday's launch of the Progress 90 cargo craft from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. Okay, operators attempting to utilize amateur radio aboard the International Space Station should make sure that the Keplerian orbital data in their tracking software has been updated since this change in orbit from the boosting, because it's definitely going to make a difference in your tracking program. And we want to say thanks to NASA for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, with a pre-Thanksgiving edition of the Houston AmSatNet. We are down to ARIS News. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contact between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen to all the action between the schools and the ISS happens on 145.800 megahertz worldwide. Okay, we've got some recently completed contacts. The Center for the Development of Children and Youth Creativity in the city of Pugachev, Saratov region, Russia, had direct via R4DS. The ISS call sign was RF0ISS, and the crew member was Alexei Ovchinin. And the ARIS mentor was RV3DR. The contact was successful Wednesday, 11/20/2024 at 15:16 UTC. Okay, we say congratulations to the Center for the Development of Children and Youth Creativity students, Alexei, Mentor RV3DR, and Ground Station R4DS. Okay, we've got the Amur State University in Bangladeshnik, Russia, direct via RK0J. The ISS call sign was RF0ISS. Scheduled crew member was Alex Gorbanov. The ARIS mentor was RV3DR. Contact was Thursday, 11/21/2024 at 11:24 UTC. Okay, we've got the Escola Secundaria Rafael Bordala Prejero Cabana in Portugal, direct via CS5SF, ISS call sign OR4ISS. Scheduled crew member was Don Petit, KB5MDT. The ARIS mentor was IK0USO. The contact was successful Friday, 11/22/2024 at 16:37:40 UTC with a 31-degree elevation. So we want to say congratulations to those students. Don, the mentor, IK0USO, and the ground station, CS5SS. And they had a live stream over on YouTube. That was youtube.com/live/QZZOQ7BHOAS. Okay, then there's the Colegio de Castanejo, Ponta Delgada, Azores, direct via CQ8CDC, ISS call sign, OR4ISS, with Don Petit, KD5MDT. The ARIS mentor, IK0USO, contact, Tuesday, 11/26/2024 at 14:57:32 UTC, with a 74-degree elevation. Okay, then there's the Immanuel Kant Baltic Federal University in Kaliningrad, Russia. and the ISS call sign scheduled to be RF0ISS with crew member Ivan Wagner. The ARS Mentor is RV3DR. The contact is 11/28/2024 at 1505 UTC. And another upcoming contact you might be able to listen in on if you're in Italy. The Sciola Medea Giovanni Verga, Caltanissetta, Italy, direct via IT9AOI. The ISS call sign scheduled to be OR4ISS with crew member Don Petit, 85MDP. ARS Mentor is IK0WGF. Contact is a go for Friday, 11/29/2024 at 11:01:30 UTC. The 59 degree elevation. Okay, the crossband repeater continues to be active. Some 145.99 megahertz up with a PL tone of 67 and 437.800 megahertz down. So be sure to make some contacts, and you never know, you may be able to talk to an astronaut. Okay, looks like we've reached the end of our time here. We hope everybody has a really happy Thanksgiving, has a good week. You can join AMSAT by going to launch.amsat.org. So you can contact amsat.org, well, info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 73s, remember to help keep amateur radio in space. Be sure and keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts. Stay safe, have a happy holiday. And this week's ANS editor is Mark Johns, K0JM. And I want to say 73s from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston. We say 73s for this week from the Houston AmSatNet.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
And we got one more check-in, and that's from Jack, N-A-G-E-E, on Echolink. So we got you down, Jack. You hope you enjoy the Houston AmSatNet, and have a happy holiday at 73.
DL-123.